All right. Now we're going to begin our sermon right now, this very moment. So listen up. We're going to start the offering and it's part of the sermon. Okay? And then we're going to have a special song by Snejana. It's also part of the sermon. All right. How to credit your account. That's what I'm going to talk about. How to credit your heavenly bank account. How do you get funds into your heavenly bank account? If you don't know you have one, I guess you haven't making deposits. But you do have one. Now, starting in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Everybody say grace. And what does grace mean? Unmerited favor. Favor. All right? So, you know the favor that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. You know the favor he gave us. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you, through his poverty, might. Everybody say might.
Might.
Say it again.
Might.
Might become rich. Do you notice? Might become rich is not shall. I know I'm a stickler for every word, and I really am. I do speak English. That word might doesn't mean assured. It means might. It means perhaps. There's a question mark behind that. Because there is something that we have to do in order to make that happen. So although Jesus did this for us and provided this provision, it is not an automatic fall on your head. Okay? So stay with me now. You see, Jesus paid the supreme sacrifice on the cross to provide us access to his riches on an unmerited basis. We did not have to earn it to get there. It was an undeserved favor. He did it without you asking. He provided it without your permission. Before you were even born. Now, although access has been provided to these riches that Jesus made available to us, there is something we have to do to transfer them into our hands physically. And that's what we want to talk about, and that's what we're going to get to today. This must take place in order for us to enjoy in our daily life what Jesus paid for us to have. And the question is, how do we do that? So in Philippians 4 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says, you know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, the good news, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me. Nobody helped me. Not one church helped me. In the matter of giving and receiving, notice he didn't say giving. Paul was very specific. He said in the matter of giving and receiving. We have to understand that when we talk to anybody in the church, in the congregation, the scriptural balanced approach is to talk about giving and receiving. If you only talk about giving, you're not preaching the gospel. And that's the reason why so many people are upset with the church, because when they go to church, what they hear is gimme, 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 and they get upset. And they have a right to get upset, because that's not the gospel. The gospel is that God has provided for us, and he wants us to participate in giving and receiving. The very last words that Oral Roberts ever spoke to me was, Henry, when you talk about giving and offerings, promise me you'll talk about receiving. The last words he said to me before he died. Except you only. You Philippian church were the only guys who ever helped me. Verse 16, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Everybody say credited.
Credited.
To my account. So Paul was looking for something to be credited to their account. Do you see that? And that's what we're talking about today. We're saying, how do we get funds, heavenly funds, that are spendable in this natural world, credited to our account? And then how do we draw out of that account to meet our needs? Because it's clear in this scripture that Paul said, it's going to be credited to your account. And he said, I'm not looking for a gift. I'm looking for you to get a bigger balance. I want you to be blessed. He said, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. There's no doubt he's talking about gifts that were given to him. Epaphroditus was the one who carried it. And he says to the Philippian church, these gifts that you sent me, they're a fragrant offering. Fragrant to who? To God. There's a sweet aroma in heaven when you make an offering. You release a heavenly fragrance. God notices there's something fresh in the roses in heaven this morning. What's going on? There's an aroma. There's a fragrance. Ah, somebody's giving. Your offering creates a fragrance. Not only that, God considers it an acceptable sacrifice. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you, it is your primary goal in life and purpose in life to please God? Can I see that? You live to please Him. Is that true? You live to please Him. Okay, every hand is up. And now I'm going to ask everybody to participate in this question, because it's a deep, soul-searching question, and I want you to participate, and I want you to be honest, because the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. If you'll be honest and respond, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. How many of you believe that you are pleasing Him? Yes. Raise your hand. If you believe you're pleasing Him, raise your hand. Okay, now you see what I've got. I'm going to tell you now what I've got. I've got about 20 out of the 80 raised their hands. What does that mean? Either we don't know what pleases God, or we're living under condemnation. That we're not pleasing Him. Somewhere, we think we're failing Him. Is that the truth? Come on now. I'm preaching better than you listening. This is the truth. This is exactly the truth. Okay? Today, I'm going to show you the two ways that you can please God. The two ways that you can please Him. And if you choose not to do it, that's up to you. Two ways. The first way is right in front of you. This fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. When you give offerings, it's pleasing to God. When you give finances, it's pleasing to God. Do you hear me? Okay. Now, I don't care if you give a dollar. That's not the issue. The thing is, when you let that finance go, I want you to know that your Heavenly Father is pleased with you. That's all it took. So don't let the devil ever, ever lie to you again and say you're not pleasing Him. You're not pleasing Him. Well, you just say to the devil, well, I gave an offering on Sunday. I know I pleased Him on Sunday, for sure. Okay? And here's the other way. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Every single time you exercise faith, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, every time you exercise faith, you please Him. That's all it takes. Okay? All right. Now, let's finish this one. And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Can you see that it's the purpose, plan, and will of God for you to have no need unmet? It doesn't mean you won't experience need. It just means that your needs will be met. Because if you live in this world, I guarantee you, you're going to run into needs. Unexpectedly, things are going to happen. The big deal is God promised to meet your need. This is it right here in the book. Okay? And folks, today you're going to find out, when we teach today, you're going to find out how to draw from your heavenly account to have your needs met. Let's have the band up. If you're going to give today cash and you'd like an envelope, there should be an envelope in front of you. If you're using a check, just make it out to the promise. And if you'd like to use a debit card or a credit card, you can use the little envelope that's in front of you, and that will work for you as well. Okay? We'd like to encourage you not to get into debt by using a credit card that you can't pay. So just be wise about that. Okay? Just be wise about that. All right. If you've got your offering in your hand, we're going to pray over it. Lord, as we give our tithes and our offerings this morning, we know that we're releasing a heavenly fragrance. We're getting God's attention, and our heavenly Father is pleased with us. Lord, we give because we love you today, but we also give because we understand that in giving we receive, that to our heavenly account something has been credited this morning in response to our giving. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing every giver and tither according to this scripture today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we are busy preparing. We might have to move the flower so you guys can see here. And as you go ahead and just prepare things for me, thank you so much. We want to do a little illustrated sermon for you. And I'm trusting that you will be able to get the message this time as I do this for you a little illustrated picture works more and gets through a little better than just talking, okay? So everybody say it's a done deal. All right. Right at the top of my picture this morning, the high spot, can you see the word love and grace? And you see the arrow pointing down? Okay. So what we have there is the love of God is what gave birth to the gift of grace. That's how it came. God is love. It all started with the fact that God is love. And because of his love, he wanted to help us. And so he came up with the idea of grace. And he gave grace to us as a gift. And grace simply means the favor of God that we don't have to earn or deserve. He simply gave it to us. Okay? So the grace of God was given through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that came was the cross. Jesus, here, can you see this? Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
You see that? That awesome? Okay. That's it's a 3D picture of Jesus on the cross. And it's painted by one of the artists that Hayden and Cindy represent. And start questioning it. No. Okay. I've taken four out of the five most important things that we receive. We receive spiritually first through the cross. Then our soul is impacted. Physically we receive. And finally, our physical wealth is impacted. Now we're going to go through this and I'm going to give you scriptures as we go. The very first thing is salvation. Everybody say salvation.
Salvation.
If you do not have salvation, you have nothing. However, because you have salvation, you have everything. Understand, all right? Once you get salvation, you have everything. That doesn't necessarily mean you experience it. It just means that you have it. You remember God said, Psalm 23, I'm going to lay a table for you in the presence of your enemies? Okay? Well, here, right now, here on earth, we are still surrounded by enemies. In the spirit world, okay? Not flesh and blood. They're not our enemies, spirit world. God has given us a table. It's a spiritual table. And on this table, there are blessings. The first one we start with is the fact that God said He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing there is. Every single blessing. There is no other. He has provided every single blessing for us. And it came through the avenue of the cross, through Jesus. That's how we received it. Every spiritual blessing is at Christ. When you get born again, at your rebirth, you receive instantly, and it's important, we say instantly, you receive righteousness, right standing with God, you are made righteous, you are delivered out of the power of Satan, you are transferred and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, correct? And you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And that happens instantly. There's no time. The moment you receive Jesus and are born again, that's what happens. You become a new creature in Christ. You become righteous. And every spiritual blessing there is, you have that in Christ. Do you agree? All right. It's important that you understand this. And the scripture we use is Ephesians 1:3 for quick reference for you. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Notice it's past tense. He has blessed us. He's not going to bless you in the future. It's a past tense event. The moment you are born again, Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior. You are blessed. It has happened. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's a fait accompli. It's done. It's a done deal. There's no more to come. It's done. He is already credited to your account. In other words, He put it on the table. Through the cross, we have grace, righteousness, blessing, born again, deliverance, all of the, and that's only just naming a few, but any spiritual blessing that you can think of has been provided for you, put into your account, and is there, but it happened instantly. All right? It happened instantly. All right. Now, the next thing is our salvation, and I've got some books up here. I've got a dictionary and a thesaurus. Simply represents studying. Simply, it's something that you do with your mind. You would study. And as you know, you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. You're three parts. The first part of you, the spirit man, got born again instantly and had access to all the spiritual blessings instantly. The next part of you, the soul realm, does not have the same effect. The soul realm, according to James 1:21, it says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And this is important that you understand. Whatever happens in the soul realm, the realm of the mind, for example, pulling down of strongholds, and I'm not talking about some type of spiritual thing in the heavenly realm, the strongholds I believe Scripture's talking about is a collection of thoughts that are causing you to think a certain way. It's a stronghold of wrong thinking that has to be pulled down and changed. Because the scripture says, tearing down strongholds and every evil thought and imagination that raises itself up against the knowledge of Christ. So it is the thoughts that are the stronghold that have to be torn down. It's in the soul realm. The soul realm is the mind, the will, the emotions. That makes up your soul realm. Now, anything that is happening in this realm, the changing of the thinking, the renewing of the mind, the growing in wisdom and understanding of our inheritance is all a process of time. When you get born again, you don't instantly have your mind renewed. You still think like you used to think before, in your BC days, before Christ. You still think that way. And you know what? You can go from church to church and be influenced by what that church teaches and pick up wrong doctrine and wrong thinking, and that can become a stronghold called tradition. And the Bible says that your tradition have made the Word of God of no effect. So anything that is contrary to the Word becomes tradition or a stronghold. So you have to be very, very careful to be sure that what is being taught is actually in the Scriptures and not an interpretation of the Scriptures, but what the Scriptures really say, even if you don't like it. As long as it's in the Word, even if you don't like it, that part of you that's not liking it is your old thinking that now has to be changed to line up with the Word. And that all takes time. That maturing process is a time process. That's why you have to study. Study the Word. Receive the Word. James 1:21. Receive the Word. Think on these things. How many of you know? You have to force your mind to think on these things. Because your mind doesn't want to. Your mind wants to think on the troubles. Your mind wants to think on the problems that you're facing. And we all face problems. And those problems seem more real to us than the Word of God. Because we can taste them, touch them, read them. Our attorneys tell them about it. Our doctors tell them about it. You know, our kids come home with them. Whatever it is, these are very, very real to us. And if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll place more honor and more power and give more power to the problems than we do to the power of the Word of God. That's why we have to take the Word of God and receive the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. If we don't do it, our soul doesn't get saved. Your soul is not your spirit. When your spirit man gets born again, your soul does not get born again. Now, you may not like that because you've grown up thinking that we have so many souls that got saved last week and so many souls. Well, that's a cliche that's been used. It's a term that's been used, but it's not true. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say your soul got born again. You see, you are not a soul, although you have a soul. You are a spirit that has a soul. And the soul and the spirit are connected together and can't be separated except by the Word of God. But the spirit man gets born again, and then you have to work on the soul. You have to change the way you think. Another part of the soul is your will and your emotions. How many of you know that if you've got emotions that are out of whack, that it does affect everything else? If you can't control your emotions, how does that affect your relationships with people? How does that affect your going to church? How does that affect your reading the Bible? How does it affect your prayer life? Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Your emotions have to come in line. They have to come in line with the Word of God. And you can make the decision to do that, all right? You see, your peace is affected by your emotions. And your peace is in the soul realm. If you're thinking about the problems, you lose your peace. Right? So the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things. Good report. Think on these things. All right? And if you keep thinking on these things, keep on thinking on these things, then what happens if you keep your mind stayed on Him? Then what does the Word say? The God of peace. The God of peace will stand guard. See that? That's the process. You have to understand where you focus, your thoughts will determine where your level of peace is. It will also determine the renewal of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewal of your mind. And we're going to get to that a little later. But Philippians 4:8-9 tells you to think on these things. Stay focused on these things. Now, nobody said it was easy. Nobody said it was easy when everything around you is going wrong and there's problems everywhere you look. Nobody said it was easy to turn your eyes off the problems to God and His Word. But it is the right thing to do if you plan to come out of your problems. Okay? So, God has made available to us the table of goodies. This is the table. Through His love and grace, salvation was given. This is the doorway to everything. If you have salvation, you have everything. You have access to everything. But it doesn't necessarily operate in your life. It's how do we get it off the table into our life? That's what we've got to talk about today. It's like this. If you're hungry and there's food on the table, you have to eat the food in order to stop the hunger. You can't be praying over the food and looking at it and thanking God He gave you food. And keep on thanking. The Bible says, don't say to the person, be blessed and be filled and go on your way. Give him something to eat. There is a physical part. There's a physical something we have to do to get what's on the table into our life. If you're thirsty, come up and drink. You've got to drink. Can't just look at the water. Now, physical healing, I've got a box of Kleenex. It doesn't look like healing. But when I take the cross and I put the cross in it, now we have healing. Because it was purchased at the cross. Okay? That's what was purchased. Healing, look backwards, by His stripes, you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24, you were healed. Physical healing has been made available. It's on the table. Correct? Jesus is not going to die now. He's not going to be whipped now. It's on the table. It's been made available to us. How do we get it from the table into our life? 1 Peter 2:24 tells us it's been made available to us. Now, healing can be miraculous. In other words, you could have something that's wrong in your body, not functioning properly, or there could be sickness in your body, or even a terminal illness. Someone ministers to you the power of God, and there can be an instant change. And that's true, it can. That would be called a miracle. That's a miracle, because it happened instantly. But most healings are a process of time. It's a recovery. Instead of being sick for 10 days, you find out you're only sick for 2 days. And for something that you couldn't get healed from, suddenly in a month's time or 6 weeks' time, it's done, and there's no more pain, and it's over. Correct? So there comes an end to continuous sickness, and a new beginning starts, and a process of being healed or coming into health begins to occur. Do you understand that? During that process, you need to understand that healing is occurring. Healing is occurring. So don't throw the baby out to the bathwater and say, God didn't hear my prayers because there wasn't an instant change. The pain didn't leave. Something didn't happen instantly. Therefore, I didn't receive it. You have to understand that many times healing is a process. Returning to health. Ultimately, we would like to live by faith in a position where we never get sick. And that would be awesome. And maybe one day the church will get there and people will be able to live in that condition. But mostly what's going to happen is just like our physical needs come and go, get needs, have them met, the same thing is going to be true in our physical bodies. Because unfortunately, we're aging. We're aging. Our bodies, physical bodies, are aging unto a place of physical death. Now, here's the thing. Hold tight. Tighten your lap strap. Your physical body is not redeemed. When you got born again, your spirit man got redeemed and was instantly changed. But through the stripes of Jesus, He paid a price for your non-physical body, for your non-redeemed body, to be healed through the process on earth when it gets sick. If it was redeemed, it would never get sick again, ever, and nor would it age. That's the reason the Bible said that your physical body is going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye through the Holy Spirit when Jesus returns, and you're going to receive what kind of a body? An immortal, glorified body. Your body that you are in at the moment is not immortal. It dies. It ages. It gets old. Do you understand? Okay. So this is where I find that there's a conflict sometimes when people will come up and say, you're a faith person. How come you wear glasses to read? Your eyes shouldn't be getting any weaker. I said, how old are you? Yeah, hold tight. I don't want to confess anything over you, but your turn's coming, sweetie. Okay? You see that pretty little look you got now? I'm telling you, when you turn 60, your body's going south. Yeah, you could work out and you can do all those exercises and do what you like. That's true. But you'll probably end up coloring your hair. If you have any. Are you with me? Okay. So, the Bible tells me that in the twinkle of an eye, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken this mortal body. And then I will have a body like Jesus had after his resurrection that can fly anytime, anywhere it wants to, can walk through walls and appear and eat food. Thank God for eating. Hallelujah. Even in heaven, there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Do you notice Lamb? Okay, anyway. We're going to be able to eat in heaven, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. All right? So our glorified body can consume, we'll be able to consume food. I don't know how that works, but obviously there's a joy in eating that God doesn't want to take away. The point is this, you need to understand this truth. You need to understand this truth. That by the stripes of Jesus, your physical body gets healed as you exercise your faith in what's on the table. You take what's on the table for your physical body. And the reason you have to take it is because your physical body is not redeemed. So don't get mad. Just understand it's in a process. And then what happens after the process, okay? Understand where you are. Because I know when you say redeemed, you think, oh, I've been redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. You haven't. You haven't. Your spirit man has been redeemed in the sense that it gets born again. And your soul you have to work on. It's a process. And your physical body, you have to do the right thing. You have to exercise, drink water, you have to sleep, all of those things. Okay? See, I mean, how many of you know if you break the natural laws of your physical body, that your physical body breaks down? You don't sleep, your physical body breaks down. So does your mind. Well, your physical body, I mean, you can't be telling me that your physical body is stronger than the Word of God. So, I mean, if you don't do the physical things, your physical body breaks down. Well, it's going to break down because it's not redeemed. And you have to do something in the natural. You have to do something about your physical body to maintain its health. And you then also can apply the scripture to get healing for your body. Are you with me? All right. Stay with me now. Let's go to the next point. The next point is wealth. Wealth. Now, we understand God gave us all things through Jesus Christ. According to Romans 8 and 32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because he gave Jesus the greatest sacrifice he could possibly give, there is nothing that he would withhold from you. Certainly not in the spirit realm because he gave you all spiritual blessings, neither in the physical realm because of the healing of Jesus, nor in the material realm where it comes to financial blessings and prosperity. Jesus Christ paid the price for you to have it. We read it this morning in our offering scripture, which was 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace, the love, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich. Now we get to the might be rich again. Please understand something, that just as salvation and peace of mind and healing is on the table. God provided for you. He also provided wealth. The little horse head represents wealth. If you want to, you could. I couldn't find something else, but I asked Brian for his gold, but he wouldn't give it to me. Wealth. We have our needs met. We read it in Philippians. All of our needs are met. God provides us through what Jesus did for us. Do you see that? But the scripture very clearly says you might become rich. The reason it says might is because in order to access this, God expects you to do something physically. He expects you to cooperate with Him and to be a giver and then a receiver, and a giver and a receiver. And that's what releases this provision to you. It is not automatic. Just like salvation is not automatic, even though Jesus died for everybody in the whole world, until you believe on Jesus, receive Him as Savior, you don't get saved. You understand that? Well, when you're in Christ, He has provided wealth for you. But He now says to you, I don't want you to be greedy. I don't want you to lust after wealth. And the only way to prevent you from doing that is for you to give what you've got and never hold on to it. If you'll give it, I'll give you more. You hold on to it, you stop where you are. If you're greedy, you go without. But if you are benevolent and you give, I will give you more. It's a foolproof system. Fools don't get to get it. All right? Okay. Now, everything that we receive from God comes through what? Grace. Everything we receive. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. Nothing you can do. You can't work for it to earn it. God gave it to you by grace. Everything we receive comes by grace. You have got to get this understanding. So here's the scripture. Memorize the scripture and make it one of your most important scriptures. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, just as if I'd never sinned, one of the spiritual gifts, because all spiritual gifts have been given to you, grace, righteousness, justification, given to you. Justified by faith. Since we've been justified by faith, our soul has peace. The very next thing that happens to you is you get soul peace because you've been justified by faith. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is through Jesus. Through whom? Through Jesus. Watch this. Through Jesus, we have access. We have access to all of this. We have access to this by faith. We have access, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. This all came through grace, through Jesus. We access this how? By faith. You understand? You've got to get that. And this is why I had to put it down like this for you to see. Because until you understand this, you may be trying to get something from God another way. And you can't get it another way. It doesn't say that by begging God, you receive it. It doesn't say because God saw your plight and how badly off you were, He did it for you. It doesn't say because God saw how sick you were that He did it. God didn't do it because you were divorced and you're a single mother. He doesn't do it because of your situation that you're in. As much as He has compassion for you, He doesn't do it because of your situation. He did it because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who freely gave you these things. He asked you to do one thing, and that one thing is believe me. How hard is that, people? Come on, how hard is it? Why would we fight this? Why would people argue with this? It's that easy. Can we put the air back on a little bit, please? Thank you. It's warm up here. I don't know if it's warm down there. Is it warm for you guys? Not? See, that's why it's not a democracy. The boss says put the air on. Amen? That's the way it goes. Those who have sweaters with them? Hallelujah. Thank you so much, LaCheryl. Okay. All right. So we gain access. Now notice it says into the grace, grace being God's favor. Watch the last few words, in which we now stand. You understand, my dear friends, that all of us are standing in God's grace. Unearned favor. Undeserved favor. He gave it to you freely, and he said, freely you've received, freely give. It's a free deal. It's a done deal. He didn't do it because you were good looking. He didn't do it because you were old and senile. He didn't do it because you were young and lost both your parents. He didn't do it because you divorced. He didn't do it because you were raised on the wrong side of the tracks. And he didn't do it because of the color of your skin or the nation you were born in. It's an equal playing field. God chose to give us grace and his favor. That means every man, woman, and child on earth who will exercise faith can step into his grace and have whatever God provided for you. Irrespective of your education, irrespective of the nation you were raised on, and irrespective of how educated you are or not, it's irrelevant. It's, do you believe him? And we stand in that grace. Don't let anybody talk you out of the grace in which you stand. Now, the fulfillment of every promise, any promise, can only be done and received by faith, because we have to cooperate with God. God's grace makes it available, and faith receives it. Your faith is a response to God's grace. If grace had not made this available, you could not come along by faith and believe God for wealth or healing or salvation or peace. You could not get down and confess 1,000 times a day, I am saved. I am saved. I believe I am. I have received it. I'm saved. You could not. You could not. If God's grace did not give it to you in the beginning, your faith would be a waste of time. It would not work. The same is true if God's grace gave it and faith didn't access it. It would sit on the table forever. And everybody would go without it. We cooperate with God and God's grace and our faith, and we have it. That's how we get it. Okay? It's one of the most important sermons you'll ever hear in your whole life. I'm serious. You may not understand it and you may not appreciate what it is, but it is the most important sermon you'll hear in your whole life, what you're hearing right now. And you're not here by accident. You've been chosen by God to be here. And I prayed specifically for you that you would be here and you'd receive and understand what he has for you. So listen, how do we move the stuff off the table into our life? How do we move God's blessings off the table into our life on a daily basis? Here's the answer, Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. These promises, all of them, come how? The promise comes by faith. What the scripture says, so that it might be by grace. So that it might be by grace. The promise comes by faith, so that it might be freely given to you without you earning it or deserving it by God's grace, and that it may be guaranteed. This is something you can take to the bank. It's a guarantee. When God guarantees something, you can be sure the warranty is not going to run out or break the day after. Do you understand this? It is guaranteed to you because God's grace gave it and you receive it by faith. Faith is necessary to make this guarantee work. That's how it works. And it was given to us by grace so that we could receive it by grace and be guaranteed to all. So, you want to write this one down. The promise comes by faith, and I'll be showing you on the screen. The promise comes by faith, but faith comes by hearing the promise. So write that one down somewhere. Faith, the promise comes by faith, because the scripture says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we just read in Romans 4, 16 that the promise comes by faith. That's how we receive the promise. It comes by faith. The promise comes by faith, but faith comes by hearing the promise. When you hear what God did, faith is released in your heart in order for you to believe what God did. And then you receive it. So even God initiates the faith that you have. You're not left on your own. Somebody said, well, I don't have the faith to receive that. Well, God has the faith for you. How does faith come? By hearing the word. So God put faith in the word so that if you'd hear the word, the faith would come and you could have the promise. He thought of everything. You understand? He thought of everything. He doesn't expect you to go without. If you would simply take the promise, renew the mind through the promise, faith would come. That faith would generate and release the promise that God provided for you. God doesn't expect you to go without at any stage. You see, God's grace makes God's power, ability, and promises and provision available. Grace makes it available. Our faith is the response to God's grace. See, our responsibility is to believe we have received, and it's God's business to make sure it manifests. All we've got to do is believe Him. Now, I want you to sit tight, because I'm going to push through with this today, because I want to get this done. I don't want it to wait for 2 weeks before I get back to it. So it's very, very important. The next few minutes, I'll probably be done in about 5 minutes, but I want you to pay close attention. Faith takes what it knows has been given. Faith takes what it knows has been given. Faith cannot work without knowledge. There is no faith without knowledge. If you don't know it's been given, you cannot believe it. It's impossible for you to believe something that you don't know. In Mark 11, 23, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen. He has to believe what he says will happen. It will be done for him. Notice what it said. It didn't say, and he who believes what the word says. I told you it's very important. I'm not going to leave this point. I want you to get it. Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, throw yourself in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what you say will happen, it will be done for you. It's what you say you have to believe. Simply believing the word will not get it done. Yeah. There is something that you have got to do to take it off the table into your life. What do you do to get it off the table into your life? You have to say it. You have to say, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. That's what takes it off the table into your life. But you have to believe what you say when you say it. You have to believe what you say when you say it. If you don't believe what you say, It won't happen. Even if you're saying the word. I know this is ridiculously deep. I know. I have meditated on this for so long to try and bring this truth to you. And if you don't get it today, promise me you'll download this teaching and you'll listen every day. I'm busy giving you the truth that will bring God's word to manifest in your life so that you don't ever have to stay sick again, stay poor, walk in poverty, walk in captivity, walk undelivered. I'm giving you the truth this morning that will absolutely revolutionize your Christian life. I just pray, God, that you, your eyes of your understanding get enlightened to what I'm saying to you. Because it's what Jesus said. It's what Jesus said. You have to believe what you say will happen. It'll be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Believe you have received it. Believe you have received it. Believe you have received it. And it will be yours. You see, believe you have received it when you say it. At the time you say it, you have to believe you received it. I tell you why. The word receive is the word take in the Greek. Take. So what Jesus was saying was whenever you ask for in prayer, you must know that it was provided and believe that it has been granted and you must take it. Salvation is available for every person on the face of the earth. How many people are going to die without being saved? And yet Jesus died the most gruesome death for them. And yet they're going to go to hell. And it was on the table for them. Why? They didn't take it. God gave it. They didn't take it. The same thing is true for all of these. Once you come through the door, salvation is the door. This peace of mind, the emotional control, physical healing, wealth and prosperity and abundance, all of those things are provided. But if you don't know they provided and then take what's been provided, you will go without. And if you're a Christian and are these things you are begging God for, you will not receive. Because he didn't say, he who begs me receives it. He said, he who believes what he says receives it. And it's not begging I receive it, it's believing I receive it. Believing I receive it. So all that remains, right here on my front, on my podium, is we have to renew our minds to what we have received so that we might know what our inheritance is. Romans 12 and verse 2. We have to renew our minds. The moment you get the truth of God's word and you hear the truth of God's word, it changes the way you think. When it changes the way you think, faith comes. Let me say that again another way. If you don't change the way you think, you'll have no faith. You have to change the way you think before you'll have faith. If you don't change the way you think, you'll have no faith. For example, let's say that you think God made you sick to teach you a lesson, to prepare you for a greater work, to prepare you for a ministry that he's got for you. That in your suffering, all he's asking you to do is bring glory to God. And suffer, baby, suffer. You can never, ever get healed because you believe God made you sick. And you think your sickness is for a greater purpose. That is a stronghold that is in your mind that is contrary to the word of God. And that stronghold is keeping you out of faith for healing. Because if somebody says to you, but why don't you believe God for healing? You'll probably respond, if it's his will, he'll heal me. In his own good time, he'll heal me. Which means I don't believe, I have not received. The time I prayed, I haven't received it. This is the crux. Now, having said all these things, I know your head is spinning. I'm going to spin it one more time. I need to correct something I said the very first day when I spoke on It's a Done Deal. And the very first day, I spoke without notes, and I spoke out of my heart and enthusiastic about the first aspect of the blessings based on Ephesians 1:3, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And I said, you don't have to pray for anybody. In fact, you shouldn't pray for them because they've already been blessed. Remember that? You don't have to pray for them. They're already blessed. And then I went a step further and I said, you should stop saying be blessed because they already are blessed. And that's a mistake. And I want to correct it today. Say, wow, you're correcting something you said. Oh, absolutely. I don't think I've arrived. I don't think I know it all. I think I'm growing. I'm going to teach to the limit. I'm going to push the limit, push the envelope to the limit. And if I need a backup, I'm going to back up. And if you're unhappy with that, go find a church. You've got a perfect pastor. I'm not perfect. Don't claim to be perfect. I do claim that I want to go as far as I can go, and sometimes I'll step beyond the limit. I step beyond the limit because I found I stepped into bondage. I found a limited God by doing that, and I had to take a step back, go back to the Scriptures, and I began to see that in the New Testament, people wrote, like Paul, and said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you. Well, I thought he was. Why would he say that again if he wasn't? And there's a difference between praying, I pray God be with you, because he is. It's a difference to me saying to you, I'm saying it to you, I'm imparting a blessing to you, and I'm saying God bless you. God's grace is with you. I am imparting something that's on the table into your life. You see, my mistake was thinking because it's on the table, it's already in your life. And I shouldn't be saying it because it's on the table. And the Lord said, no, no, you got to help them get them off the table. And if I can assist anybody to get it off the table into their life, I ought to do that. And every believer ought to do that. Should you not? Isn't your heart to help somebody? A simple example is this. If Pastor Paul gave me $100 today, are you listening, Pastor Paul? Nah. If he gave me $100 today because the Lord led him to do that, and I got in the car and I said to Jackie, Pastor Paul blessed me with $100. Is that true? So I received a blessing, even though I'm blessed. So Paul increased my physical daily life's blessings. Or should I have turned to Jackie and just said, Paul gave me $100? Is there a difference in what I was saying? I recognized that that was a blessing from God. So I'm saying it was a blessing. He gave me a blessing. So you see, the same thing is true. The same thing is true. Is if I say to any one of you, you are blessed, the angels are with you, have a great week, God's grace and favor is upon you, His face is shining upon you, I'm saying what's on the table, and I'm helping to impart it into your life. And the Lord helped me to get back to see that I should be helping people to get into that, not limiting them from enjoying it. And then did you get that or not?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Say it all again from when? Good morning. Okay. The idea is that we're all walking in needs, and we all need to have our needs met. The thing is this, God has provided it's on the table. It's on the table. We have to get it off the table into our life. And if I can help you get it off the table into your life, or if you can help your friend or your neighbor get it off the table into their life, then you should do it. And the way you do it is by using your words to declare what's on the table in their life. What's on the table, I declare, is in your life. So I declare you are healed in Jesus' name. I declare that you're healed in Jesus' name. Walk in peace. The love of God is manifesting in your life. I declare the glory and the blessing of God into your life. I'm agreeing with you because that's what you're agreeing for. If I cannot bless you, if I cannot speak a blessing over your life, then in the New Testament, where they said things like, you know, the angels are about us, or the glory of God, or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then I have to retract and say, well, why would they say that if it's already so? It is so. It is so. It is so. And I agree with you that it's so in your life. I agree with you it's so. And I bring it to your attention that it's so. It is so. You understand? Okay. So I took the first sermon off. It's no longer available. I bought all the sermons back, paid for it. I pushed the delete button. I don't want to say something that I don't 100% believe that it's of the Holy Spirit and directly of the Word. I don't want to say something. I'd rather take it away, even if it's only one statement that I made out of an hour's talking. I still would rather take that away. I don't want to create confusion. And so I'm going to continue pressing in. I'm going to push further. Believe God for more. Believe for the enlightenment of my heart and my spirit so that I can get everything that He's got available for us into my life and walk in it in my life. I want that. And I want you to have it too. I want you to walk in it as well. So you are blessed. Amen. You're prosperous. Amen. You believe. I declare that you're givers and tithers, that you're doers of the word, that you're soul winners, that the life of God is in you, that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the fullness of God abides in you, and that you're having everything God's word declares you should have. And I'm going to put my faith to that you're going to be saying what the word says about you and believing what the word says about you. And it will manifest by faith in your life. Amen? Now, I apologize for going long, but I don't think I could have stopped anywhere in the middle of this to quit. Okay? So have an awesome week. Walk in the power. Amen? Manifest the presence of God wherever you go. Be strong. And don't let the devil lie to you. You are delivered. You are the head, not the tail. Amen? So next, try and attend a small group during the week. And then also next Sunday, come out for Dr. Ed. You're going to be so blessed. And I can say that. You are going to be blessed by his ministry. You'd be blessed just as if I gave you $100. You'd be blessed. All right? All right. We love you guys. Have an awesome week. Thank you for coming out. Amen.